Welcome to Couch Lobsters, the podcast where we discuss movies and TV shows from a fairly amateurish point of view. The concept is fairly simple. We assign each other a film or a series to watch. We keep our opinion secret until the day of the recording, when we'll discuss our selections at length. It will be spoilerific, so if you haven't watched the movies and the series we are about to discuss, you might want to do that beforehand. I'm Jess.
I'm Dima, and welcome to Couch Lobsters.
Dima, which one do you want to start with?
I would, I guess, prefer starting with something more recent, which is Glory. How about we go with that?
Okay, first? We can start with the Glory.
So, not much to say, I guess. Glory is a fairly recent K-drama, which just had its season or part 2 released on Netflix, and that's where I watched the show. So, just a, if you haven't seen it, like we said, it's going to be full of spoilers, but if you did, you'll know what we're talking about. So, but in short, it's a K-drama about a woman who seeks revenge on classmates who bullied her as a teen. And just to give a bit of stats for all those that do love them, it has an IMDb rating of 8.1 out of 10 and a Rotten Tomatoes score of 83%, which is quite high, I would say. What do you think, Jess?
Do people really care about this? I feel like IMDb is pretty reliable. I think Rotten Tomatoes can be debatable sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm the same way. Like, I generally look at the IMDb score first. I don't really care about the Rotten Tomato that much. But it seems like right now, if you Google a show, like any show, like you'll have usually have both scores. So I guess it's just like a personal preference.
Yeah, no, that's true.
So yeah, for all of those who do love scores, stats, IMDb, it's 8.1 and it's 83 on Rotten Tomato. And I guess the first thing I want to say is probably, I don't know about you, Jess, but I think we're going to probably butcher quite a few names.
Yeah, like just a little warning to everyone listening, we do not speak Korean, we can't pronounce Korean names.
You want to hear some fun fact, I guess? I did recently start to learn Korean.
Yeah, you told me that. So I'm expecting you to say everything properly. So I'm not learning Korean. The names would be butchered.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just started, so I don't think I'm going to be any more fluent than you. So butchering the names, check. Also, you know, like we said, we were talking about The Glory, and we're talking about I Saw the Devil. I guess the first interesting part that I thought about, that interestingly both are about revenge.
Mm-hmm. Is it interesting, or is it more so that revenge is a very common theme in Korean cinema, TV shows, etc.?
I think
it's the latter.
Well, I think it's not just Korean. I think the revenge is a big topic in movies, you know, movies, TV shows in general. Like, even in any Western, you know, yeah. You think about a bunch of, like, Hollywood movies, there's, like, you just said, you know, like, not talking really about it, but, you know, you're gonna go watch John Wick tomorrow.
Yeah, but I do feel John Wick and that franchise, or The Equalizer, it's become a genre that's been popularized later, whereas I feel in Korea, revenge has been linked to their cinema forever. I don't know. I do think that, like, if you think back on the movie Old Boy, for example, which is fairly old at this point, and I think for us, it's not... Yeah, maybe Westerns, maybe you're right.
Going back all the way to Robin Hood, you know, revenge on the rich. Take from the rich.
I guess so, Robin Hood.
So yeah, I guess revenge is a big theme in movies, TV shows in general. Also, I want to, add to that, not revenge, but the whole glory thing, you know, like, why I chose glory, you know, like, to be honest, like, I had no idea what to choose, and it wasn't like I didn't know what to choose because I didn't watch anything, like, I think I watch way too much stuff in general, but, you know, like, you gave me a Korean movie, and... You know, the season 2 was about to come out, so I'm like, okay, I think this would be...
Wait, did you think that if I pick a Korean movie, then you have to pick a Korean something?
It wasn't like that, but I was like, okay, so it gave me a Korean one, and like, yeah, and there was like news coming out about like, hey, Glory season, or like part 2 is coming out. I'm like, oh, okay, this could be like something interesting, so why not? Plus... I'm, you know, like, learning Korean, so I was like...
It did surprise me that you picked that show. I was not expecting that from you at all.
Did you watch the show, like, before I told you? Did you watch part 1 before that?
So, when you picked it, I had seen the first part before you told me, oh, you're gonna have to watch this show. But as you picked it, the second part was coming out. So I binged it over a weekend.
Did you watch subs or dubs?
Subs always. I cannot stand dubs.
Really?
I do not want to hear another voice. I want to hear the actors. I want to hear them speak Korean. That's their language. Why are people so afraid of subtitles? I hate dubbed anything.
I did dubs. I don't like I think.
Oh, Dima, come on. I'm so disappointed in you.
I want to be focused on the show, especially, you know, like when you have some sort of like cinematography or something that the director wanted you to see. I don't want to miss parts because I didn't read fast enough, or, you know, like I was focusing on reading more than I was like listening and watching.
I don't think it happens though. I don't think that reading subtitles takes away from a movie or a show that's in another language. Also, what you just said, I picked a Korean thing because I'm learning Korean, but I listen to it in English.
Yeah, but there's no way. Yeah. I mean, I've also learned English.
Sure, but like, come on. Oh, it's so sad because it's their voice, and just Korean is so nice to listen to. I love, love, love Korean.
What did you think of the... Not just revenge, but like the way the main character like Dong Yoon was treated.
Okay, yeah, the names are gonna be hard for me to remember. That was the thing I hated with this show, is that I read the subtitles and I was like, who the fuck is this person? I could not remember their names or associate the name with the face. It took me two parts of the season to realize who was who. I did not like the first part, so when you assigned it to me, I was like, oh, for fuck's sake, now I have to finish this show that I thought was just okay, but kind of started off really good with the bullying that was so intense and so cruel, and just not like they were not calling her names or, you know, stealing her lunch. No, they tortured her physically, emotionally. It's just horrible to watch. And I thought, wow, this is intense. And then the rest of the season, the first part of it, it's just her doing nothing about it, kind of. You can tell she's gearing for revenge, she's preparing this whole plot, and you're like, cool, it's going to be awesome, she's going to take them down. And then, no, she does not, nothing happens for so many episodes, maybe 8 episodes, I think, the first part. I thought her character was weird, because I understand the trauma that she went through, and you understand, like, she's almost about to kill herself. She was... to at a point in her life when she was like, either I take revenge or I kill myself, because she has nothing else left to live for. Like, even her mom abandons her. Like, her mom is a character. But I thought the adult her, the way she's portrayed is a bit weird. I understand that she's cold and she doesn't have feelings and she just wants to take revenge. That's the only thing she cares about. But she also, I don't know, I don't understand her actions. She goes and tells everybody, "Oh, by the way, I'm back. I'm gonna take revenge." I was like, "What the fuck is going on? Wouldn't you, if you were to take revenge on someone, wouldn't you try and do it from the side, like a sniper, and not be seen instead of going to them, be like, 'I'm back and I'm gonna take revenge. Be prepared.'" I was like, "What is going on?" And then the way she's acting with people who actually want to help her, she's just rude. But I think she's a good actress. I don't think she portrayed the character wrong. I think maybe the character was written in a way that made it very hard to like, if that makes sense, because she's so cold. And you like her at the beginning because you understand the trauma behind the facade, but fucking hell, just smile sometimes.
Well, I think she did smile, but like it could be, going through, I mean, what she's been through as a teen, right? Not many people can imagine that. So, when you go through that sort of trauma, like who knows, maybe you're already like mentally traumatized. So,
For sure.
like it takes you like 20 years. There's a very good article on Time magazine. It was called like How Netflix The Glory Drew Inspiration from Real Stories of School Violence in Korea. So a lot of this stuff is, somewhat based on, like true story. And the writer of the show, her name is Kim, Miss Kim. So she wrote the show when her teen daughter asked her a crazy question, like, "Mom, would you be more heartbroken if I beat someone nearly to death or if I got beaten to death by someone else?" It's a crazy question, and because like apparently like Korean schools have a lot of experience with like bullying and like real type of bullying, so it's not just calling names. But and there was another interview that a school commissioner for Office of Education, and he said that reality is even worse when the interviewer asked him if bullying in some of the scenes sort of that are portrayed in the show are true or not. And like him saying that the reality is even worse.
That is shocking, to be fair.
Well.
Like the bullying part is really what drew me in the show because it was so bad. Like not what you'd expect from a bullying, let's say an American show where bullying would be, oh, they locked you in your locker or something. Although I'm saying that, but surely there are movies with more intense bullying. But here they were like burning her and abusing her, even sexually, I think. You kind of get that later on in the show that the girl before her basically got raped. And
Yeah.
you're like, Jesus. And nobody does anything. Even the teachers, they know what's going on. And they're like, yeah, but the mom of like that girl who's abusing you is very wealthy. Therefore, sorry. I don't know. That was really shocking. And that really drew you in the show. And you wanted her to take revenge. Because I will say this, the girl who plays let's say the bad girl, the mean one, she is so fucking good. Especially the adult version. You hate her. You just hate her. She has a way of talking and using her wealth to get what she wants, and you want her to fall and just hurt a lot when she falls. So she was good. Some of the others were a bit like too cliche, especially the artist. Girl, she was a bit just one-dimensional to me, but maybe I'm wrong. I thought the others were a bit better. The guy with I still don't know what was wrong with his eyes. Did he not see colors? Did he have a cancer? I'm so confused. And maybe the subtitles were not correct with that because
I think he was just like, I think he was colorblind, or to a degree, yeah.
there was like, oh, he needs to put drops and he's got glaucoma. And I was like, glaucoma isn't that cancer? He was also a bit one-dimensional to me. Whereas I think the guy who played his lackey, for lack of better words, the gangstery one, was a bit more interesting to me, even
the one who died first?
Yeah, the one who dies. But I thought his character was a bit more interesting because he wasn't exactly part of the wealthy gang. He was their friend, but not really, and they were still using him, and he resented them. So even though he was an abuser to her, he also was abused by those friends. And he was in the position between the two where you could think maybe he's teetering on the edge and maybe he's going to become an ally, which he kind of was, but then he died, so.
Which he, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's why I guess, you know, the main character, the Dong Yun, she converted. She like, he was the first one she converted, I think, out of the gang, right? Because later it was him first. And then it was the stewardess who was the
same. Yeah, I liked her. I thought she was good, and the actress was really good as well. And I thought her character was interesting also because she wasn't wealthy, so she felt she had to follow their lead to be part of the group. But then at the same time, you have to ask yourself, at what time do you stop yourself from torturing someone just because you want to belong, like Jesus? But she was funny, and she was witty. I liked her. But I think in the first part of the series, you just establish the bad people as being really bad and nothing happens to them. And even though the hero, let's call her that, Dong Yun, is there, she just confronts them. She says, oh, by the way, I'm here and I'm back and I'm going to take revenge. But she kind of does nothing. And you just wonder, when are you actually going to exact revenge? You just go to people and tell them, ooh, I'm here for revenge, but you do nothing about it. It drove me nuts. It was so slow. And the bad people just kept doing horrible things and getting away with it, not getting punished and being smirk as fuck because it was like, well, you can't do anything about it. You can't exact your revenge. And I thought that was annoying and it lasted too long. It was 8 episodes of not much going on.
All right, so let me then switch to, I guess, the good guys. Who do you think, because I've seen this being, like, there's some opinions online, and I want to ask you, who do you think is a better couple? Dong Yun and the handsome doctor guy, or
Dong Yun and the rich, wealthy guy?
Yeah.
Based over the whole series or part one?
The whole show. Let's talk the whole show, right?
Okay, then the doctor. Because I think, in the end, the doctor's, when you kind of learn what he does, who he is, and how twisted he is, I thought he gained a lot of points, in my opinion. Because I was like, he is the bollocks. Because there's a few scenes where he does what he says to her he is going to do. He's like her executioner, right? And he does the dirty work so she doesn't need to. And also, he loves her. He does it for her. And she's going to help him with his issues for season two, I'm guessing. Whereas I think the wealthy guy started off awesome. I was so in love with him for the first season. Then season two is more in the background to me. And he doesn't really make a decision. At first, he's like, oh, I still stay with my wife. Are you kidding me? She is the worst of them all. And he's like, yeah, but what? Why would you stay with a horrible, horrible woman like that? So he lost points, in my opinion, in that. And at the end, okay, so fair enough. In the end, he kind of kills someone, which was unexpected. Although, as you saw the shoes, he was like, oh, that's definitely the husband.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who do you think is better?
I thought, like, the same thing. I think, like, at the beginning, I thought that the husband could be, like, a pretty good fit. But then, you know, like, in part two, like, he learns that actually, like, because I think initially he liked her because he thought that she's smart, you know, smart, good-looking and all that. And then in part two, he learns that actually the doctor guy taught her how to play the game,
the
you know,
game
like
go right.
Yeah, so I think like maybe he then thought, hey, maybe she's not as, you know, smart as I thought, like in a, you know, like in that sort of regards. But yeah, I feel like the better couple It's still the Doctor and Dong-yoon, yeah.
I think she, like, not as an outsider, but I think they are better suited for each other because they both have this weird
Trauma, yeah.
desire for revenge, bloodthirsty a little bit. Whereas I think the rich, wealthy guy just wanted a normal life with a normal,
Yeah.
good wife.
Yeah.
And obviously, that didn't happen.
So you said season two. Do you think there's gonna be a season two?
That's what pissed me off about this show. I knew they were setting this bullshit up because for the first part of the series, you don't really understand why there is the story with the doctor guy. You kind of see, okay, there's a love interest, it's fucking boring, it's going nowhere because Korean show. And then there's the story about the guy in prison who killed his dad. And I'm like, what the fuck do we care? What, it's got nothing to do with the bullying. Why are we talking about this and spending so much time on this bullshit? And then season two or part two happens. And slowly but surely, you kind of see that, okay, he's gonna help her, but in return, she's gonna help him get into the prison. And they are both gonna try and get that guy. Because you saw that killer, the crazy guy that's in prison, you see him too often on screen for him to just be nothing. I felt like they are introducing this character because he's gonna play a part in season two. And also, it just cemented my opinion or my belief that, yes, season two is gonna be about the prison and the guy who killed the dad and the doctor and how they can. And it could be awesome because, as a doctor, just imagine the kind of pain you can inflict on someone and hide it from anyone else. Just scalpels and fucking toxins and I don't know, just be creative. But the guy is horrible. I want him to suffer. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I feel I know what you mean, but at the same time, like the way show ended, like yes, maybe they've been setting it up, but let's say if there is no season two, if it's just ended like this, I would be, and I feel like I'm pretty happy with the way it ended. Like, I mean, assuming there's no season two, right? So they just kind of like brought this story and then towards the end, so sort of to finish off, like, hey, this is what they're gonna do next, you know?
How do you think, in their mind, there should be two, one season based on her revenge and then one season based on his revenge?
I
And then
don't,
stop.
like, I don't know. Like, I don't think they should make another season for just the guy. I don't see how they can stretch it just in the prison.
I think it's gonna be more. Because, like, the guy could just escape or something and then.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he can escape because they already transferred him to the even the more, I think, because you know that the
The
scene.
harsher
Yeah, the
prison,
harsher
yeah.
prison, which was already the maximum security one that he's in right now. So I don't think he'll escape. But then, yeah, I just don't see another season happening for that show. I feel like they've set it up in a way to close it off.
Well, I'll bet you now, I know Netflix profits. The season, I guess, was a success. I would say people liked it. And they don't have that many successes, Netflix, anymore, so they are gonna milk this
I
one.
mean, they do and don't. So, like, if we're on that, some cool, I guess, stats about the show. So the series right now ranked among the top 10 of all time non-English TV series.
Okay.
So it's on number 9 right now. So, being top 10 of all time non-English TV, I think it's a very.
Based on what? Like, based on how many people watched? Because you know Netflix, they don't
Yeah,
really.
so they released the they do numbers based on millions of hours watched in the first 28 days of release.
Okay. So it's. But it's not necessarily people who watch the whole thing, though. It could be people that just watched one episode and decided not for me.
Yeah, so that's why they take, they look at the millions of hours watched in the 28 days, right? So it could be like somebody in the first 28 days, they just watched one episode, which is like an hour, or somebody who binged watched the whole, the whole thing, you know, like, so, but I mean, that's a very interesting stat. So that's why, like,
It is an interesting stat. Out of curiosity, can you see what other ones are in? Is the kingdom in that
you
list?
know what? I have had a look. I've had a look at the Netflix's biggest hit movies and shows as of 28th of February. Guess what's number one?
What is it?
Guess, like, a wild guess.
It's gonna be something like Love is Blind.
Fuck no.
Oh, too hot to handle, or like one of those reality
Are
terrible
you serious?
shows.
Reality
I
show.
think a lot of people watch
I
this.
mean, what?
Okay, is it All Quiet on the Western Front?
I have no idea what you're talking about. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Fuck, are you doing with your life? It won Oscars, Jesus.
Dude, okay, so.
Okay, so it's not that, I'm guessing.
So, okay, let me give you a number. Let's start with number three and go down. So, number three is.
I guess you that see that show is on there, no? The show with the weird, the psycho stalker. It's called You.
You? No. So, you're. I think it's a very good guess. And I'm actually watching the season four. So, I don't know. But. No, number three, and if I tell you, I think you're immediately gonna understand why. So number three is Wednesday.
Fucking hell. Oh, I don't understand. Okay.
You don't understand why? I mean, there's such huge marketing around that show. You know, after, you know, like, came out, people are.
Yeah, but it's not good though. Like, at some point, you have to question, is the content good? I don't care if it's an IP that, oh, I love the Addams Family. So the show isn't about the Addams Family. It pisses. Let's not get into this one. I have many thoughts.
Okay, not yet, okay. So number two, Stranger Things season four.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
And number one, Squid Game.
Oh, really?
Yes, Squid Game. I think, like, Squid Game, like, it was huge. I think the recent resurgence about the whole Korean stuff is because of Squid Games.
I think it's because of Parasite.
I think both. I think Parasite and Squid Games are the
I
most.
think Squid Game is more mainstream, right? So.
Yes, the huge success of why so many Korean shows have been popular in the last 2 years is because of, like, Parasite and Squid Game. Yeah. Interestingly, at number 11 in the same, you know, like, biggest hit movies and TV shows ranked. Number 11 is another Korean show. I don't know if you watched it or not, but it's called All of Us Are Dead.
Yeah, I watched it.
So yeah, that's another pretty cool, interesting stat about, you know, like, the whole Korean stuff. But yeah, number one, Squid Games.
Okay, but that makes sense because it was a big hit. Everybody was talking about Squid Game, and I think everybody, out of curiosity, watched Squid Game.
Yeah. I guess one last thing. How do you think, for me, how do you think she, the main character, looks like?
You mean like physically?
Yeah, I was shocked that she, because looking at the, you know, that couple again, coming back to the couple, like, the dude, the doctor, is 27 years old, like, in real life, right? So he looks.
He looks very young.
Yeah, so that's why, like, you know, like, looking at his real age in real life, he's 27 years old. So I'm like, okay, you look like you could be 27. But then again, I out of curiosity, I went ahead and checked how old is the main character, like, in real life, actually, and she's 41. She does not look like 41.
Yeah, she does look older than him, but not
Yeah,
significantly
yeah.
older. I mean, I never wondered during the show, like, oh, do I think she's attractive? Or, like, do I think she looks too old for him? I did think it looked like he was younger, but again, Asian men can look a bit young and not be young. You know what I mean? He has a very smooth
You
face.
just told me that you were thinking that the doctor is hot.
So, okay, no. Not physically. It's more the darkness in him. Like, as you progress in the show, at first, he seems like the very lovely, bubbly boy, and he likes her, and she doesn't like him back. And then, as the show progresses, and he does things for her to exact revenge for her, and how calculating and smart he is. I thought that was hot. I think he just looks like a young boy. Whereas I think the husband, the rich, wealthy husband, was hot physically, but not so much mentally, if that makes sense. But the doctor, you could see that he was, if he were to be a serial killer, he would be the kind of serial killer that you don't catch because he's too smart and too nice and just has this facade of a unassuming person. Like how he could, in conversations, he could drop hints of, I know what you're up to, but with a smile on his face, and it just looks like, and you just don't know, does he know more than he's letting on? Does he know my secrets? I don't know, I thought he was awesome. I don't know, there's just so many layers to him.
Alright, yeah.
But, yeah, I feel like I don't care about what she looks like, she's very beautiful, why are people even asking this question?
Okay, I guess one last thing, an interesting fun fact, I guess, from me, is that the whole cast was screened for past bullying.
Oh, do they do that? How would you know that?
I mean, I don't know. It's Google. But yeah, they apparently... They...
Does it go on a record or...?
I mean, you know, if you were a minor, I guess, and you bullied somebody, you know, and if, I guess, find out, I don't know if it's a public record or not, but yeah.
Doesn't that just get erased when you're 18? Like in most countries, if you do something when you're a teenager, when you're 18, like it's like, oh, it's okay.
How Korean system work, but yeah, it's interesting.
They have laws.
Yeah, that they've screened for past bullying for the cast.
Okay, that's good though. For sure, that's about bullying.
Yeah. All right. Well, any last thoughts from you on the show?
What were your thoughts? Like, did you think it was good or did you think it was bad?
I like the show. Yeah, definitely. I would agree that it was, you know, with the IMDb, that it's a good 8. It's a good 8 for me. Well deserved. I didn't see many...
Let me ask you this. If you had seen only part 1... would you give it 8 out of 10 as well?
You know, if I've seen just part 1, I would have probably maybe put it even higher, like 8.5 or towards 9-ish. Just because I would be curious to see what would she do next. You know, like, because if the show just like...
part 1, I'm so sorry, but no.
What?
I think part 1 is letting the show that if they had like us wait a year for part 2, never, I would never watch part 2 because if part 1 was such a letdown to me. It started off really good, the first 2 episodes, let's say, and then it's slow and boring and goes nowhere and she does nothing. She doesn't exact revenge. She just
plots the revenge.
Walking about being a teacher.
Yeah, I mean...
No, but I thought, okay, she's going to do the type of revenge that is a slow burn. I can get behind that. That's not a problem. The problem was she went about doing it in a weird way where she would go to the people, like literally confront them and be like, I'm here to get revenge and do nothing about it. The only thing she did in season 1 was get money from the drug-addicted painter. And even that I thought was such a lame... She had not much dirt on her. The girl just gave her money because apparently doing drugs is a big no-no, but I was like, you could just get away with it, if I'm honest. I don't know. It just felt like so slow and so many intertwined stories.
Oh, because they were setting up for part 2. They were setting up for part 2.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Part 2 changed my opinion, but part 1, I was not happy with it. And when you assigned the show to me, I was like, oh, fuck's sake. Because I didn't want to watch part 2. And I watched it and I changed my mind because I guess in the end, the whole revenge plot falls into place and it's actually quite satisfying. And she does get her revenge. But some of them, she doesn't really get revenge. It just happens so that they get stuck in this whirlwind of violence. So like, for example, the stewardess...
Yeah, but that's what she said, I think, in part 2 somewhere around, like, hey, I've set up the pieces, so like a part of her revenge is like, like them dishing it out on themselves.
I feel like that's like an easy way out.
I don't know. She's been plotting for 20 years.
Don't like it.
I mean, if you think about something for 20 years, maybe,
You don't know, like, I'm never like this in movie. You do not know how people are gonna react. You are not prescient. Like, you don't know. Yeah, fair enough. She had a good indication that they were the kind of people to just rip themselves apart just so that they wouldn't drown. Fair. And also, I like the stewardess. I didn't want her to get stabbed in the neck with a pencil. That was just horrible. I think part two, it was good though.
Yeah, a fun fact about the stewardess. So apparently they were saying, like there was a scene, I think two scenes when she was naked. Yeah, so one where was she getting in a bath? So apparently when she was getting in a bath and we just saw her from the back, it was actually her.
Okay.
No, then it was actually her, but when there's a scene where the, that Yong-jin comes to the apartment, that the bad,
Who's Young Jin?
the bad lady.
Okay, the
So
bitch.
the yeah. So when the bitch comes into the apartment and the stewardess is there and the stewardess is naked, like completely naked, we can see like yeah. So in that scene, it's like a body double.
Fascinating.
Yeah. That's what I said. It's a a fun fact.
I do think that you see a lot more naked women than you do see a naked men. Can we just quickly, how did you understand? So we hear that Dong-yoon, so the girl that's trying to get revenge, basically, she got bullied, but before her, there was another girl that was a victim of the same group of teenagers. And then we hear that that girl, like, she obviously kind of was pushed off a roof, died. And then they hear that she was pregnant. So, do we know for a fact it was the guy with the eye cancer, whatever, color blindness problem, or was it the gangster one? I feel like,
I think they did say.
do we think she was raped, or do I think so? Do they actually say it though?
I think they just
I
presume.
thought it was more so like unsaid but understood.
So I don't think they said it, but it was, I think it was like understood that it was the colorblind guy.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of said, but not with words. It's kind of this undercurrent of we know she was raped and she was pregnant as a result.
Yeah, I think it was,
But I feel like that's not really treated at all. Like, we don't like the colorblind dude for many reasons. But we don't really get into the fact that he raped someone, which I think is pretty shocking. And I don't know. I just think his revenge is basically her dangling the fact that, oh, by the way, you have this daughter, and that's it. And he wants to get his daughter back, and then he gets into conflict with the Queen Bee. And it's just, for me, his revenge wasn't that good because I think he was a horrific abuser, yet I don't know, he died, fair enough, he died, that's true. I do think that it must have been really painful to be putting eye drops in your eyes, but they were like glue, or what was in the thing? I forgot. That was like, oh no.
No, I think it was like something like a sanitizer type of thing, like some sort of acid or
Oh, just imagine like bleach in your eyes. Fucking hell. I thought that was cool. I love that. We're like, oh yeah, that was great when he got tortured. Love it. But yeah, I think I keep saying season one. Part one for me wasn't. And okay, for me, that's a problem with Korean shows. If you think about it, the whole season is 16 episodes long. And I think, if I'm being honest, it could just be 10. You don't need to make 16 episodes and stretch the story so much. I think it'd be more powerful if it was shorter, but they don't do that. They always have very long seasons of a lot of nonsense that you want to fast forward to get to the
Yeah,
point.
I think
And I
because
felt
they
like this
were,
show was doing that.
yeah, I think because they were like sort of trying to explore some other characters, like that shady teacher who was taking like pictures
Oh, it
of
was bizarre. Peter, I'm sorry. I know you can't say that, but from the first scene in there, you're like, "Oh, that one is just not right."
with his hair, with his hair and stuff, like, oh.
The hair was wrong, and then he was, and I was like, "Oh, not surprised." Yeah, that guy, and there was no point really. The fact that he was there and then not there just didn't change much in the show.
Yeah, I
For
think
me,
because
you didn't need that. The same way that,
they were trying to like explore kinda these other characters. Like they put a bit of emphasis like again on that teacher. It was the mom. It was like the Dong Yun's mom and the bitch's mom. Like they were kind of like
yeah, but I think
trying.
you needed those because they were part of the story from the beginning.
Yeah, but like there's like a bunch of like these care like or that other girl that was like bullied and then she was working for in the store
Yeah, that
later.
was silly. We didn't need that.
Yeah, so there's like because I
But
think
she's the
they
one who killed
yeah
Bangs, the
like
dude.
finished him, yeah, not
So
killed.
again, you didn't need it. Could I think it matters in the sense that the revenge is even more complete, that the Queen Bee is in prison for something she actually didn't do. And Dong Yun knows that, and she goes to see her and she's like, "Well, I know something you don't," and it drives the other one crazy. And yeah, I think that was good, but at the same time, we spent too many scenes dwelling on the who is this other girl? No, I don't care. I don't care. Just get to the point. I hate when there's too many storylines and they don't really matter. Like the whole. Well, I guess it matters now. At the end of season one, I was like, the fuck do we care about the doctor, the love story? It's just so stupid. We don't care about it. Just let her take revenge. But then at the end, you realize, oh, she needed the doctor because he was a psycho. So that turned out all right. What you didn't need was the whole story with the mum of the doctor. Like, why? We spent so many scenes in that hospital and he takes his mum to lunch and the food looks good every time in Korean shows. I'm like, I want this food. But there's so many scenes that are not needed. Or the weather girl. So the Queen Bee, she's a weather girl, I guess. I don't know what they're called. And so there's like little scenes where she's trying to. Other people at work are trying to get her job, and we don't care. Yeah, it shows that she's a bitch, but we know that because she tortured someone when she was 16. I just sometimes it's too long. 16 episodes is too long, but they do that with every single show, so it wasn't a surprise. And that's what bothered me. And I thought, oh, once again, it's a Korean show that is gonna take forever to get to the point, much like We Are All Dead or whatever it was with the zombies. Well, it's just so long. All of us are dead. Yeah, fucking boring. It starts good and then it meanders and meanders and they're all teenagers with love stories and the fuck do we care? I wanna see zombies. Oh, I just can't. I cannot. I don't have the patience for this shit. I'm sorry.
Okay, so can we finish off on the fact that the show is good? Can we agree on that?
Yeah, I agree. After season
Okay.
part two, sorry. Part two made me change my opinions, and I binged part two without fast forwarding through anything, so that's
Okay.
always good.
All
Because
right.
part one, not so much.
Okay. So we agree.
Yes, I think it was good. I think it's worth watching.
Yeah, Glory is a show. It's worth watching. And for our listeners out there, I guess if you haven't watched it, you've got a lot of spoilers, so you might as well not watch it now. But the show is amazing,
16
so
episodes long, though. I hope you have time.
yeah, go check it out on Netflix.
Okay, I guess now we can talk about the selection, my selection, which is a movie called I Saw the Devil.
Thank you.
gonna butcher Korean names. Let's get started. Which was directed by Kim Ji-won. I'm hoping that's correct. Which stars, okay, again, Korean name, Lee Byung-hun. Which we might know from, okay, I think some of these we might you might have seen, or people might have seen. He was in The Magnificent Seven, like the remake. It was in Terminator Genesis as a T-1000, which I don't remember him in that, but sure. He was on G.I. Joe, so I probably remembered him from that because I've seen these movies. He was in Squid Game as well as the front man, and I don't remember who that character was. Was he the guy that was like the head of the whole thing? Maybe. He was also in The Good, The Bad, and The Weird, and he was the bad in that movie. And he plays in this one the good guy. I'm gonna call them the good guy, so he's like an intelligence, National Intelligence Service agent, something like that. Then it stars also Choi Min-sik as the bad guy, the very bad guy. And we know him from Old Boy, Lady Vengeance, and also he was in Lucy, the terrible movie with Scarlett Johansson, directed by, I forgot, Luc Besson, maybe? I don't know. Doesn't matter. And the director, Kim Ji-won, directed The Good, The Bad, and The Weird, so I guess that's how he met the other guy. He directed A Tale of Two Sisters, A Bittersweet Life, and I think he's directing at the moment, I don't know if it's come out, a TV show called Dr. Brain, and it does sound interesting, so I'm gonna probably watch that when it comes out.
It already came out, and I've already watched it.
Did it?
Yes, it came out, I think, last year.
No way! I thought it was in production. Was it good?
Yeah, I think it starts off slow, but yeah, it's okay. Yeah, I watched it last year, dude. You're so behind.
Oh, really? Okay, never mind then. It's out, you can watch it. A few notes about this movie. Just something to say before we get into the nitty-gritty of it all. This movie is quite graphic and violent. It's not something you would want to watch at the end of the week to just, you know, decompress, have a glass of wine. I don't recommend you watch this one. It's intense. And because it was so violent, when it first was presented to the, let's say, the Korea Media Rating Board, so like the agency that's going to give it a rating to say whether, you know, it's 16 plus or it's just all audiences allowed, etc. It was given a rating of like 19 plus, which is the most restrictive rating. You know what I mean? It's not something that a lot of audiences will have access to if it comes out in cinemas with that rating. So the way the director decided to get around that and get a better rating was to edit the movie a bit more, remove some scenes, try and change it slightly so that it would get a better rating. And so they edited it a bit and they submitted it again to the rating board, and again they got the 19 plus rating. So that was at the time of the first release, obviously. So they had to delay the release. They resubmitted the movie a third time, and at that point it was given the rating of 18 plus. Which is still, like, not exactly something that a lot of people will go and see at that point. But maybe it will be something that might attract a lot of people. Because if you hear a movie is that graphic and it's got that 18 plus rating, it might create some kind of buzz that people are like, I need to see this. So at the end, like, the final version they submitted to get that rating, they had to delete 1 minute and 30 seconds. Which is, doesn't seem like a lot. And also, I think I've seen two versions of this movie, because I saw it the first time maybe 3 years ago or something. And I feel like the version I saw then is different than the version I saw for this podcast. So I bought the Blu-ray, and I think the Blu-ray is the heavily edited version, because there were scenes I remembered that I didn't see in this version.
Okay, so you watched it actually, so you bought like a or rented a physical copy.
I did buy it, yeah, because I love, love, love this movie. So I was like, I just want to have it.
So I guess like I just wanna say like well I watched it on Amazon Prime. Obviously we all know there's like legitimate ways to watch it and not so legitimate ways. So I've actually had to because normally for me when I want to find a movie that I want to watch or something I know the name, there's an awesome app called Just Watch. And it's kind of sort of region specific. So if you're, for example, sitting in which you are in UK, I'm in Australia. So you just set your region, and they have like multiple, like it kind of like gives you all the apps that are available in that region, and you just type in the name, and it gives you the where you can watch the movie. If it's free, so it gives you like a streaming service. If it's free, if it's paid, or you have to buy or rent it, it also gives you like the streaming service or whatever, iTunes, or you can buy it on Google or on I mean YouTube, or you can buy it on Amazon. I think right now they're also selling them. So it gives you like streaming service. If it's free, it gives you the renting or buying option and how much is it? So it's a like fantastic app, yeah. So that's kind of how I like it wasn't available for me to watch no streaming service, which is like I was very surprised. So no streaming service in Australia, not even for buying. So I couldn't even buy it on any, yeah, so on any no platforms, iTunes, nothing, weren't selling them. So my only way was to, so I had to Google it, and my only way was to watch it on Amazon Prime, but I had to VPN it.
Weren't you able to just buy it
No.
like on Amazon or something, just get
Physical,
the
yeah, physical copy,
really?
yeah, but like not digital. So I couldn't buy it anywhere digitally. So,
Oh, yeah, but just get the
yeah,
physical
so
one.
I didn't look for physical. So I was like, okay, so I what was my other option? So I had to like Google it, and actually Amazon Prime had it in US, so I had to VPN because I already subscribed to Prime. So I just had to VPN it to US, and then that's kind of was my way to watch it. But yeah, it was like I was like for a minute there I was like, okay, how am I gonna watch it? Because I was surprised that nothing, like I couldn't digitally buy it, rent it, stream it, nothing in Australia. It was very surprising to me. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's not easy to find, but I was able to buy the physical, like the Blu-ray, quite easily. But yeah, I couldn't find it for free, let's say on streaming platforms. And I did, if I was gonna rent it, pay money to see it, I would just prefer to buy the Blu-ray because then I have it. Yeah. Okay, so. And what I did read is that the production company did edit more scenes because they were scared that they could ins the movie might inspire copycat killers. A lot of the scenes, including cannibalism, were edited out. And I think those. So there's a dinner scene at some point where the bad guy, Cho Min-sik, goes and stays with his serial killer friends or something, the weird people. And they have a dinner together. And I remember the first time I watched this movie, you could tell that what his friend was eating was a person. It was meat that was not meat. It was, but it was a person's meat. And I think on the Blu-ray, though, the dinner scene just seems like a dinner scene and it's been replaced by just normal beef, that the meat. So yeah, I think there are multiple versions of the movie floating around is what I'm saying. And then, okay, another interesting thing is that Arnold Schwarzenegger was so impressed with the movie that he later decided to that he wanted to work with the director, Kim Ji-won. And so they worked together on the movie The Last Stand. However, I don't think that rings a bell for me. I don't know if you've seen that.
I don't think so.
Okay, me neither. It doesn't ring a bell, but it's weird because if it's got Schwarzenegger in it, I'm like, it's something that I could have watched. Never mind. Okay, so there's something about the ending of the movie. Depending on the version you watch, either you get the music that's very loud. So at the end of the movie, you have the hero, and I'm putting quotes, air quotes around the word hero here, but he walks away and he's crying. And so I think in the Korean version, what you hear as he's walking away crying is the music, whereas in the international version, there's a focus on him crying and the sound of him crying more so than the music. I thought that was kind of interesting. And I think on the Blu-ray that I bought is the music that's more predominant, so I guess it must be the Korean version. I don't know what about the version you watched.
Yeah, that's a good point, but to be honest, well, I mean, I remember him crying, but I don't remember if the focus was more on the music or on actually him
I
crying.
mean, it doesn't change a lot, I think. It's just if you know, then you know, and you think, okay, I'm watching this version as opposed to that. I don't think it takes away from the meaning of the scene, or slightly. If it does, it doesn't really matter. Fun fact is that so throughout the film, the character, the bad guy, let's call him that, it's gonna be easier than the Korean names. So the character that's portrayed by Choi Min-sik always fights with a weapon, and if he doesn't have a weapon, he's quite easily knocked down, which in hindsight, I don't even remember if that's true, but I think that could be true. He's always trying to grab something, so he has a gun at some point. I think he has a knife at some other point, so he's always got something to fight with, whereas the hero, quote, can just easily knock him down with his bare hands.
I guess that's the point of him being the special service, you know, like whatever.
Yeah, so I guess that comes into play if you're trained like as a special service agent, obviously. It's the second time that the Choi Min-sik, so the bad guy in this movie, plays a serial killer. The first time was in the movie Lady Vengeance, which is part of like this Vengeance trilogy in which you have Old Boy, Lady Vengeance, and Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance or something like that. I think so. So that's interesting, and I think I read somewhere that after this movie, so I saw The Devil Came Out, he was in an elevator one day with a woman, and she recognized him from the film, and she was really scared, like because she obviously, I don't know why you would do that, but she thought, oh my God, he's the serial killer. And he turned to her and he was like, oh, don't worry, I don't kill people anymore. You don't need to be more worried about me. Like, but it's kind of weird that you get stuck with an actor and you're like, oh my God, he's the character. No, he's the actor, you Muppet. Okay, but never mind. And so this movie and another movie called The Chaser are loosely based on actual murders committed by a serial killer called Yoo Young-chul, and he was named the Raincoat Killer. And I think I've seen something, a documentary or a movie about this, but it was very horrific killer. As far as killers go, obviously it's terrible to kill people as it is, but yeah, he was not a good person. The movie, as far as the so how it was received, since you like the ratings, it got a score of 81% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is quite good. It's got an IMDb score of 7.8, which is quite good as well. It's less than The Glory, which that's bizarre to me, but okay. So overall, the reaction to the movie was quite positive. People enjoyed the movie. They saw behind, you know, further than just the violence and the graphic nature of it all to understand what the director intended to say with this movie. And it was well received overall. Yeah, in terms of like the rating, obviously, because it was rated so high. So it ended up with a rating of 18 plus. Which some of the actors in the movie, and especially the guy who plays the special agent, at first they thought, oh, that's a good thing. And then they realized, oh, maybe that's gonna hinder my career because then it's gonna limit the number of people who obviously can go and see this movie, and therefore it might not be this big boost I need to further my career. But I think in hindsight, that, you know, it didn't happen because the movie was well received and it still is now regarded as maybe a masterpiece by some. So I think their career was fine. It won a bunch of awards in Asia mostly. It did win awards in a French festival I know of called Gérardmer, which is like a festival for like sci-fi, fantasy, etc., horror movies. It got the Audience Award, the Critics Award, Special Jury Prize Award, US Jury Prize, it won all of the awards. So, like, obviously, you mentioned before, both movies, or both the movie for me, but then the series for you, were about the theme of vengeance. I think revenge speaks to all of us, just because it's something that we don't want to be faced with injustice. And sometimes we feel like the way to obtain justice or revenge would be, let's say, the legal way. So like you would have to put your trust in the police force, the justice system, etc. And more often than not, I think people feel like those systems will fail them, or they will not get the resolution they want or need. And sometimes we all just wish there was a vigilante who would take matter in their own hands and kind of get me the revenge I need. And I think that's why characters in comics can be that popular, especially I'm thinking of the Batman, like vigilante. Of course, you would like someone to give you the satisfying revenge that you crave. And that's not always possible if you just report a crime to the police and wait for, you know, the police to do their work. And if they do, it goes to trial and to court, and maybe there's nothing that's going to happen. So I think that's why it speaks to all of us. A good revenge movie is so satisfying because you like to see bad people get their due and just suffer. It sounds horrible saying it like this, but it's probably true though. But I also think it's part of the fact that a lot of people feel maybe unresolved anger, especially these days, the way I feel like any generation would say that though, especially these days, but we feel like maybe we are not listened to, or there's such a cleavage between the ultra wealthy and just the common people. And sometimes you just want things to go well for the normal people, which is like something that's important in those movies. Usually the people getting the revenge are not meant to be the elite, you know? They're not meant to have unlimited means to obtain their revenge. Although they do have special skills. But most revenge movies do have the similar plot structure of an injustice is committed. We want resolution and vengeance. If you think of Taken, yeah, they take his daughter, he wants revenge. If you think of John Wick, they killed his dog, he wants revenge. In the movie I Saw the Devil, maybe I should have given the plot. So it's fairly simple. There's this serial killer that kills a woman, and the woman is the fiance of a guy that's part of the National Intelligence Service. And so obviously, because his fiance, he's dead, he's gonna try and get revenge. So that's the basic plot of the movie. But yeah, it goes a bit deeper.
The way I see it, even like with the main character or like the whole revenge, but like, you know, it's sort of like a struggle between good versus evil, right? Because you can be good and then, right, you can't report, you know, to the police. You can, or like he could have easily, because he, you know, catch him, he release him, he catch him, he release them, you know, like you can be even good. Like you found him, hey, just bring him in, you know, report him, like take him to the police, as you know, like being the good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he's being also like, he has this struggle between good and evil. So now, you know, like he's like in a sense he's becoming the monster to hunt for the monster.
Yeah, so exactly, that's what the movie wants to explore. So what's unique about this one, it seems like just a basic revenge movie, but what really the director wanted to show and where the movie takes you is that you start with a very clear idea of who's evil and who's good. And as the movie progresses, and like you said, the good guy tries to get revenge by inflicting as much pain onto the killer, so the bad dude, as his fiance felt before she died. So what he does is that he catches him, tortures him, releases him, only to catch him later, inflict more pain, release him again. And what he tells him is that you will only die when you are at your most vulnerable, at your most scared. But obviously, to commit to this kind of vengeance, you have to slowly become a monster yourself. And I think at some point in the movie, so like I said, at first, you know who's good, who's bad. But as the movie progresses, and as you have to watch more and more scenes of absolute graphic torture, there's a scene at some point where I'm going to call them the good and the bad guy, because I'm not going to try to pronounce the Korean names. So the good guy catches up with the bad guy in like a doctor's office, and they have a little fight, and the good guy takes a scalpel and slices his Achilles tendons, and you see that on screen, and it's so cringy. It's just so disgusting to me. And then he tells the nurse that was just being assaulted by the bad guy also, by the way, and she's still there in that room with them, and he tells her, don't leave, because he will need to be looked after. So he doesn't want to kill him. Like, the first few times he catches up with him, he wants to inflict a lot of pain, but he doesn't want to kill him. And so at some point, as the movie progresses, obviously, the revenge is all-consuming for the hero. There's nothing else. Even though people around him start to tell him, you need to stop, you are hurting the case, like, from obviously the police force is like, you need to stop because that's not helping. But even people close to him, so I think his fiance's dad was a police chief as well. And at first, the dad helps him a little bit to find out who are the potential, you know, killers and etc. But at some point, even the dad is like, you need to stop because you're gonna also lose who you were in this process. And we start seeing that. We start seeing him change more and more into a monster, and to a point where at the end, not that you root for the killer, you are reminded often enough in the movie that the killer isn't a good guy. So it's not like you want him to survive or you would like him, but you feel like, why can't you just kill him though? And then it goes to a point where his desire for revenge is going to cost the life of more people. So his fiance's dad and then his fiance's sister are killed by the bad guy. And at that point, it's like you've lost more than you've gained by being consumed with this desire for revenge. All you've managed to do is transform into the very thing you were trying to, you know, hunt. You have now become also a monster yourself. And I think that's partly why. So, like I said before, there's the ending scene is him leaving at the end, crying. And you wonder, is he crying? Because throughout the movie, you never see him express any emotions. He's like super stoic, super badass a little bit. But at the end, finally, he breaks down and cries. And you wonder, is it because he can finally release all the pressure and just all the emotions? Or is he crying as because he realizes what he's done? Or is he crying at what he's lost? I think there's a bit of everything. I think maybe also crying at the fact that, do you need to become a monster to fight monsters? Is that something that we should do? Is that the correct way, you know, to obtain revenge? I don't know where your thoughts are on this one.
On the movie or this specific monster?
So let's review the movie. We can do that. So first off, did you think it was good or bad?
Well, I think it was a good, like, I honestly liked the movie. Like, I've never heard of the movie. I went with it to the movie, like, not knowing anything.
Okay, that's good.
Zero, nothing. And I was like the movie was super shocking. Right, from the...
In terms of how graphic it is, or more in terms of
everything.
Like...
So, like, the horror, the blood, you know, the violence. It was, like, shockingly, like, good. Because I think, like, the movie was, like, shot, directed. Everything was, like, amazing.
It is beautiful to look at.
Like, the constant action of the movie, you know, like, because at first I was, you know, like... Because the movie is, like, almost 2.5 hours long. And he finds the killer Like, so from the start of the movie until he actually finds the killer, it took about 45 minutes. So at that mark, when he found him, I paused and I'm like, I looked at the timeline and I'm like, okay, what is gonna happen for the rest, like 90 minutes? I had no idea, like, which way is it? I had no idea which way is it gonna go. So yeah, it was like very surprising to me.
I'm actually so happy you went into this blind because I didn't want, I feel like it's something if you experience it and you, like you said, you didn't watch the trailers, you don't know what it's about, and you don't expect to see what you're about to see, it is an
Yeah.
experience. Yeah. It's not your common movie at all.
Yeah, it's not a common movie. So an interesting thing, like you look at the, so I looked at the genre of the movie, right? And again, I went to both Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb, and they are a bit different. So Rotten Tomato, it says that it's a mystery and thriller. Which mystery, I'm like, okay, I mean, very hard to see a mystery here.
It's not mystery because you know who's the bad guy.
Yeah,
From
so
the first scene,
yeah.
it's literally the bad guy killing the fiance, and you're like, okay.
So the mystery may be like, hey, what's gonna happen? Like I said, after 45 minutes, I'm like,
Maybe.
what is gonna happen for the next 90 minutes? Like literally, I was like, no idea. How is it gonna go for the next 90 minutes? So mystery and thriller on Rotten Tomatoes was a bit deceptive, right? But then you look at IMDb and they say it's action, crime, drama, horror, thriller. Now that I can kind of agree on all those points. Definitely action, like nonstop action throughout the movie, be it fighting, killing, running, something. Crime, drama, horror, like all those things are there. So like I'm with, again, I guess same way I'm with scoring, same way I'm like I'm definitely agreeing on the genre that IMDb like picked definitely much better. But yeah.
Yeah, I think it is, it's not a mystery
Yeah, it's
at
definitely not
all.
a mystery. So yeah, and
There's no mystery because you know who the killer is as the audience. So you're watching this movie, the first scene, which something has to be said about how beautiful the movie looks. For me, all the shots, all the scenes, they are super well thought of. It's not by mistake that he picks like those settings and those lightings, and it's beautiful. And that actually is bizarre because what you see on screen is absolutely revolting, but the beauty of the setting makes you still look at it, if that makes sense. So the first scene, for example, we have this girl that's in a car, her car has broken down, but it's snowing. And the way it's shot with the snow, she gets bashed in that car. So the guy, the killer, stops obviously his minibus and comes to look at the window, knocks at the window, and she's like, "No, I'll just wait for the tow truck." And she's on the phone with her fiance as it is, and he tells her, "Yeah, just don't leave the car, stay in the car." And then the killer kind of walks back to his own little minibus. The camera reverts back to the girl in the car, so you are with the girl in the car, and you no longer see outside. And then he fucking smashes that window with an axe or whatever it was, like a, what was it?
I think it was like an
Like a
axe.
little mallet or like a hammer or maybe a hammer. And she tries to flee, but she can't leave the car, so he just smacks her in the head multiple times and then drags her body outside. But because so she's bleeding profusely, and so as he's dragging her in the snow, it leaves this red trail of blood all over the snow. But it's beautiful because of how it's there, and the snow so white and the blood so red. And you keep looking and looking, but it's just horrible what's going on screen. And for me, the whole movie is like that. All of the torture scenes are beautiful to look at, yet they are absolutely disgusting and graphic. Like when he goes to to his friends, which is bizarre that he knows these other serial killers, and he goes to their house, and well, that's in the version that I first saw. So not in the in this one, but like I said, there was a dinner scene when he's eating. So his friend, who is a cannibal, which you gather fairly quickly, he's eating this meat from this bowl, and in the version that I saw, you could tell it was human flesh with blood, but because it was so bright red and the bowl was so white, porcelain white, and he was eating just... The colors are so pretty to look at that you keep looking, but it's so gross because you know it's fucking human flesh. I don't know. I think everything is beautiful to look at, but Jesus fuck, it's hard to watch the torture. And at first, you kind of want him to suffer because you've seen the crimes he committed. Like, because not only does he rape the fiance, he dismembers her and throws the limbs in a river. And so for the family to have to find the head separated from the rest of the body, I can't even imagine how that horrible that would be. So you want him to suffer. You're like, you're a horrible pervert. I hate you. Just suffer. But as the movie goes on and he suffers, because at the end he's like, what, he's got an arm in a cast, a leg in a cast, he's limping, he's full of blood. It's just, it looks like you've been through it, haven't you? But at the end, you kind of feel like, can you just kill him? Like, the torture becomes too much even for you. And you're not meant to like the character, you're not meant to like the serial killer at all. But I think the movie tells you, like, even bad people, they don't deserve this. Nobody deserves this. Nor do you. As a good person, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't become a monster. And at the end, it takes more from him than he started off with. Because, he lost his fiancée, but he had his father-in-law, I guess, and his sister-in-law, and they wanted him to be better, and they die because of him. Oh, I don't know if the dad dies, but the sister for sure, because they find the body wrapped in the alley. That was pretty grim as well.
Yeah, so, like you said, that's definitely, like, I feel there's been, like, a roller coaster of emotions throughout the movie. I loved it.
What do you think about the actors?
I think the two main characters played their role.
Yeah, I guess so. There's only two, really.
Yeah. Both of them played it amazing. You know, even the other bad guys, like the cannibal one, I think like they picked everyone pretty good. Yeah, I think it was definitely a good cast. Yeah, the only, I guess, plot, you know, scenes where I was like, huh? Was what happened to those, you know, the schoolgirl?
The one he's about to rape, yeah. Right? When he goes to the...
Yeah, so what happened to her? So I did, like, because I thought that after that the police will come, they will...
I thought she left.
Yeah, it's like left me, like wondering, like, huh? Like, why isn't police... Because at that point, they should already know, like, hey, who is the killer, right? Who are they after? But, like, the fact that the schoolgirl...
The police doesn't know.
And then also the...
Wait, what? Why are you confused? I think... So he's about to rape her, right?
So he beats him up. He releases him. What happens to the schoolgirl?
The girl just leaves.
Yeah, so sure, what, she doesn't say anything to the police?
Why did you just fuck off?
Yeah, but, like, what happens after?
I mean, we don't care. Well, yeah, maybe she does, but I don't think the movie cares about, oh, let's show the police interviewing. It's not the point of the movie. I don't want to see that.
No. But I don't see, even at that point, it doesn't seem like the police knows... Who's the killer and what's happening with the main guy? Like, that the main guy is hunting and releasing him.
I think they do because they go to the school, don't they? They go to the school and they call, like, the school is trying to call the driver, and that's how he knows that the police knows, and that's why he decides to take the girl to the...
No.
Yeah.
No.
The police is on his tracks.
No, because...
Yeah.
Based on what?
Based on, I think...
Because at that point, there was still, like, four... There was still four guys that they were, like, after chasing, right? So two guys he already beat up. There was two more, right? That were left out. So I don't see how they... Like, why would they go for that guy and then...
You don't understand why they focus on him.
Yeah, I don't see how they figured it out. And
so they do go to the school, and then the school is trying to call him on the phone, and he sees his, like, smartphone. It's not that made me laugh. It was, like, an actual phone. And he declines the call, and he looks in the back, and we see the girl asleep. And that, I think that's when he decides, well, if they know I'm already done for, I might as well have fun. And he takes the girl to the little plant nursery place.
I don't see that way. Because, like, after that, he's still... He gets he gets caught by the main guy for the first time, right? I know, is it already the second... Is it the second time?
No, it's the first time in the plant thing.
Yeah.
Because that's when he put the tracker inside.
Yeah, so it means that the police found him earlier than the main guy, right? So I don't see...
No, I think the main guy was onto him already. The main guy was following him, and that's why he knew he was at the plantation thing.
Yeah, so that means that they both had kind of caught up to him at roughly the same time, right?
I guess so. But that didn't bother me. What bothered me more was, first off, the tracker. I think maybe the police knew because they figured, oh, it's not the other two. They've been beaten up by the guy. I don't know. Or maybe they just checked up on him?
I don't know. I don't see it that way. Because even after that, right, so the second time he catches up is at the doctor, right? That's again, even after that, you know, again, he releases him. That girl also gets, you know, kind of released. So she should have been also kind of been reporting it to the police. So the police should have been at least on his track what's happening there. Again, it doesn't really happen. Then he goes to the cannibal house again, and then the girl who was about to get eaten also gets released, you know. And
I don't know what happens to her though.
Yeah. So like again, like those three things. So every time a girl gets saved in each of those instances, it doesn't seem like the police are one, like, aware of all the killing and then aware of even what the bad...
Isn't that the point?
Yeah, but also the police is not doing anything about the good guy.
They try.
Right? So they should be also chasing the good guy.
They do try. Okay, but first off... Wouldn't the police be completely inept? Isn't that a point the movie is making, that even though you might have faith in the police force, they might not be able to help you better than... Although, definitely not the point the movie is trying to make, but it's kind of like, we know the police might not always be the best at solving something. I agree with you. I'm not exactly sure on how they pinpointed that he was the killer. Or why the girls, but I also don't care to see the girls going into the police and being like, I'd like to report a crime. I'm not there to watch that.
Yeah, I don't want to see that too, but like, I just feel like that something's like, what felt me missing is the fact that them not being able to catch up to both the good and the bad guy, right? Because like, even catching to the good guy, because he releases him apparently each time, and they should have been aware that he releases them based on the statement that they could have got from the first and the second girl and then the third girl. So like, they should have...
You mean like the girl would have said, this guy came and beat him up?
Yeah.
So if the girl had gone to the police, they would have said, there was this other guy. I think they know, because at the end, they like... when the police chief, like the fiancé's dad, gets beaten up by the killer and he shows up, the hero, quote... shows up at the house, the police force knows exactly who he is, and they say, it's your fault. So they knew he was hunting the killer and possibly releasing.
Well, see, I think they knew that they were probably hunting. Yeah, I think they knew he was hunting him based on, you know, the relationship, you know, that he has with the girl, and that girl being the chief, like, police's chief daughter and all that stuff. So I think they know that he's hunting, but I don't think that they know that he's hunting and releasing them after like three times. I don't feel like...
I think they know. I think it's implied that they know. Because like, even when... So the cannibal goes to the hospital, right? After he obviously fucks them up in the house. It seems like the police knows exactly why these... Because they kind of say... Look at what he's done. I feel like the police knows exactly what he's doing, but they can't catch him because he's better than them. And they can't really catch the killer either because he's also better than them.
But don't you think that they should have then arrested him? Like, hey, if you're catch... Hey, you know something that...
No.
So you're saying that they can't prove? No, but they should have
Arrest who?
like the
Arrest
arrest the
the.
main guy as like, hey, you know something that
They
we.
can't catch him. They don't know where he is.
No, but even no, even if they no, but when they catch him at the father-in-law's house after the third time and after the father-in-law gets fucked up,
Oh.
they still kind of like knowing all that, they still kind of release him.
But they have no proof.
Hey,
But why? They have no DNA. They get nothing.
no, but they should have proof from the statement of those three girls, right? That he catching and releasing.
Okay, your mind goes in places I can't even fathom what.
I just say that to me, that was like the plot holes that I feel
Okay.
like it didn't connect like dots to me on that.
For me, a big plot hole is a tracker that you put inside someone. First off, we all end up going to the bathroom at some. But even regardless, how is the microphone that good that you can hear as if he was on a phone on speakers? Like he could hear him, he could
Well,
track him, I understand, as long as the tracker is there. But here, the audio was like crystal clear, and that makes no sense. I'm sorry.
playing devil's advocate here, this is some
It's not meant to be in 2049.
2010, right? Technology plus it's
Nonsense.
some secret service shit, like you don't know what the kind of tech they have.
It's in your bowels, though. There's no way you hear people talking. Even if you could hear the one person, maybe, but he's hearing everybody else as if he were on a Teams call. That makes no sense. Another scene I was a bit confused about is like, so after he's been released twice, I think at this point, he gets into a cab. No, the first time. So he's been beaten up, the trucker is inside him, he doesn't know yet. And he gets into a cab, and there's a weird, like, the cab driver seems all right. He's just like, oh, you're lucky because with all these murders, nobody, no cabs are, driving these roads. And there's a guy in the back that's really weird. And there's like at some point, the guy in the back tries to stab the killer, and a fight ensues, and the cab crashes. And then he finds a body in the boot of the car. And I was like, where's the cab driver in on it? Like, I'm still confused whether the cab driver was just genuinely a nice cab driver, a bit annoying, but nice. Or whether the cab driver and the weird guy in the back were together working and killing people or something. I'm still confused
I
about
think those two were like maybe not killers, but they were like mugging people.
that. Why is there a dead body though, if you're mugging people?
Where? I don't remember any dead bodies.
I think that's before the doctor.
No, so when those the cab driver, when they crash the car, then the main character, like the good guy, comes over and he just sees, I don't think they show body in a boot, but they showed that.
It's not a good character, it's the bad guy who finds the body and he says something like, you fuckers, or like he laughs a little bit because he's like, huh? Because the bad guy, because he fights with them two in the cab crashes and he gets out of the car and he looks in the boot, I guess to find something, like shoes, because he's not wearing any no more. And then he finds a body, and I was like, what the fuck is happening? Why is everyone in this movie a cannibal or a killer? Or like, that made no sense. I still don't know, maybe I missed something though, because I don't think in the first time I saw it, I was questioning this scene, and now I'm like, why is there the body? Was the cab driver, like, I was hoping the cab driver was a good person, but I guess maybe not. That's upsetting. And then he goes with the cab. Oh no, he can't take the cab. How does he get to the doctor?
Good question, I don't remember.
He just walks in, doesn't
Yeah,
he?
I think so.
Maybe. I don't know. Plot
Yeah.
holes. There are some plot holes, not gonna lie.
Yeah, but overall,
And what do you think of the ending though? The ending of the movie?
I'm satisfied the way it ended. Sort of because he, meaning that the bad guy died, he died in a best way, I guess possible. So it wasn't like a gruesome death. Like he wasn't like torturing him towards the end that much, maybe because he realized that no matter what kind of like torture he puts him through, it's the bad guy doesn't really give a shit about that. So, but then at the same time,
That's what the guy says to
yeah.
him.
At the same time, like putting, the thing in his mouth, the way that it would, as soon as he releases, it would like chop his head off. I was like both quick death, but like also, violent death, and it was satisfying. But I guess he probably was the one who also called the parents to come with the kid,
Definitely.
so that would also sort of like, put a big stamp over like.
So, what do you think about at the end? The bad guy tells him, "What do you want? You can't torture me because I don't know pain, I enjoy pain, etc." And the good guy tells him, "I will kill you." And the bad guy tells him, "Just kill me already, kill me already." And the good guy tells him, "I will kill you when you are at your most scared, helpless, etc." Just like his fiance died when she was, obviously scared, helpless, and in pain. And I wonder, do you think that that's why he called the
Yes.
family? So, like, the killer's mom and dad, and then his son, which I wonder how the fuck did he have a son? Did he actually have a relationship with a girl for long enough that he could have a son? Because to me, he seems like he just kills anyone he encounters. How did he manage to have a son? That's like 9 months of not killing
The
someone.
son is what he looks like, he's maybe 11, 12 at that time. So
He's
yeah,
old.
so that's, 12 years ago. Who the fuck knows, like, what was he like? He was definitely probably
I don't
bad.
think he was not a killer 12 years
Yeah,
ago,
but
but maybe less.
maybe it wasn't to the same sort of extent,
Maybe not.
Yeah, like, I think, so definitely his death was planned in a way when he said, like, most vulnerable, because, like, if that bad guy was like that bad, he probably could have easily, at some point killed the son and killed the family. So maybe that was like one last 0.01% of some emotion that he may have. And that emotion would be, most vulnerable when, he was in front of them. And that's kind of like when he was in front of them. And he was like holding on to his life with that thing in his mouth, and then
Then they opened the door, which like started the whole. So because them trying to open the door made the whole guillotine thing start. So basically he lost his head because his parents and his son were trying to help him, which is pretty cruel. It's kind of like a Saw, like in the movie Saw, the whole twisted games are designed. It felt a bit like that, where your only way to save yourself would be for no one to care about you. Like the bad guy kept saying, "I have nothing, I care about nothing. Yet there's nothing you can use to make me feel pain or to suffer." But in the end, it was wrong because his family cared enough that they came. Like when they got the call, I'm guessing they got a call and said, "Oh, by the way, your son is in this house," and they came, and that's what caused him to die. It's because he was wrong. There were people that did care still. But then, yeah, and then the hero. It's hard to say hero because he does such horrible things throughout the movie that, yeah, he starts off awesome, but then as the movie progresses, you're like, yeah, I don't really know. Like you are also cold-hearted and cruel, but as he leaves and he cries and you just, and that's it. That's the final shot, him crying and leaving. And he's lost everything. He's lost his fiance. He's lost the family. So like his stepdad, not stepdad, that father-in-law and his sister-in-law, and they seem to have like this dynamic where they were like a close-knit group, so he was close to them.
I think the father-in-law is not dead. I think the sister died.
Yeah, maybe not. He looked like he went to the
Yeah,
hospital, didn't
I
he?
think he was like severely beat up.
Like the scene where
Yeah, the
the hero goes to the hospital to ask the cannibal about where would your friend go if he were running. And because the guy doesn't talk, he takes his ma it, no, the guy
Yeah.
laughs at him and he's like, "Oh, you think you're gonna win?" And then he's like, "Oh, you think it's
Yeah.
funny?" And he takes his mouth and opens it and is like, "Oh, I'll give you something to smile about."
Yeah, so he said something like a forever
Oh, you'll smile
smile. Yeah,
forever or some
forever
shit.
smile or something like that. And it,
That's like a Joker origin story. There it is. That was disgusting. There's many disgusting scenes. It's just also the randomness of the attacks, like the killer just kills anyone. If you're in his path, like he will kill you. Whether you're a woman stranded or whether you're just minding your own business in your pharmacy and he comes in and is like, "I need alcohol," and you say, "Do you get money?" "No." "Well, I'll kill you." But the actor is brilliant because you believe him. You see the insanity in his eyes, in his just the way he carries himself and walks. And at the end, when he's supposed to come and like he says, "I'm gonna give myself up to the police," and he comes out of this car and he's covered in blood. He's got no shoes. He's got one arm in a cast, one foot in a cast. He's got a cigarette hanging because he smokes all throughout the movie. Just he looks mental. That was funny, actually. And then, yeah, there's good action scenes as well because there's like that car scene where the good guy tries to get in because he doesn't want him to go to the police because he wants to finish him himself. And so he intercepts him, sort of. I thought that was cool. But yeah, overall, I give that movie, for me, out of 10, I would say a 9 or 9.5. I love, 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 love this movie. I think it's so good. And I think going in blind like you did must be so good because you don't expect what you're gonna see. You haven't heard about it, so you don't know what it's gonna be like, as opposed to having heard about it and wanting to see it because of that.
I think definitely, I don't know about like people who are going to be listening to this or would want to, watch. I think going to this show, or I mean to this movie, not knowing anything about it is the best way to enjoy the movie.
It's probably better. But I didn't, and I still liked it, so cool. So your one I think was good. My one, we both liked it, so it was a positive review on all accounts today.
Okay, so let's just go with our picks for next time.
Yeah.
So for next time, you are going to watch a movie called Faculty.
Yes, which I know I'm not going in blind in this one, I'm sorry to
Okay,
say.
fair enough.
But at the same time, because it's kind of old, you can't expect me not to have seen it.
Yeah, I don't remember any. I mean, I do remember things about this, but I don't.
No, I don't
Yeah, I
remember it, to be
definitely
fair.
am going to be rewatching it. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I'll try and. Do you know if it's on
I have no
Netflix or
idea.
Prime or somewhere? I'll just figure it out. For you, I have decided to pick The Meg with Jason Statham.
Ooh, is it because I look like him?
Oh, Dima. Yes.
Thank you.
It's because you look just like Jason Statham.
Thank you.
No, it might be because I keep hearing about it because it seems like a lot of movies are coming out about megalodons and stuff, and I was just like, you
I
know
think
what?
there's a second one in the works. I'm not yet.
Yeah. Yeah. I think coming out soon.
Okay. Interesting.
So
Awesome.
that's for next time.
Awesome.
So it's two movies next
Yeah,
time.
two
Yeah, cool.
movies.
Cool.
All right, thank you, Jess. No, I just want to thank you.
Thank you, Dima.
And thank you, our listeners. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.